Well, as I mentioned, the title of today's message is Agape Love, Love Beyond Natural Ability. Last week, we talked about the difference between natural love and human love, or natural human love and agape love. We'll make just remind us to tie the two together of some of the points that we made. Human love is conditional and needs a reciprocal action. It's self-centered and it has to be returned. Human love always wants the things that are good and lovely, or it's self-centered. It considers only what's good for it, for that person. Human love always wants to be pleased. A person that's walking in human love has to be pleased. If things don't turn out the way they want them to turn out, then they no longer love. They can't love. They turn into hatred, anger, bitterness, and all the other things. While agape love, God's kind of love, is not dependent on understanding or what you think or feel. It's not dependent on what the person feels like. It loves anyways. Agape love is more interested in pleasing others than it is itself. The God kind of love is more interested in pleasing that other person, seeing to it that they're blessed, and not so much blessed themselves. Agape love doesn't care how you respond. Agape love will love anyways, no matter what the response is from that person. Agape love will love anyways. So today we're going to be studying this agape love, or love beyond natural ability. We're going to start today in John 17, because Jesus prayed, his prayer in John 17 is about agape love. That is a description of what agape love is. So we're going to read his prayer. We've studied this in previous messages on this subject, but we want to bring it back in here because it is what shows us the ability to love beyond natural ability. John 17, verse 20. We need to pay very careful attention to what Jesus prayed here. Neither pray I for these alone. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to God, isn't he? Neither pray I for these alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all of those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, and rely on me. So we fall into this prayer. He's prayed for us. He wasn't just praying for the 12 apostles around him at that time. And remember, he's a couple of hours away from the cross. So he is praying to his Father everything that he has taught his disciples to how to walk. He's praying for them and for us today so that we can walk this agape love, love beyond natural ability. So he said, I'll read that again, so pay careful attention to it. Neither for these alone do I pray, or not for these 12 apostles only. It is not for their sakes only that I make this request. Now, do you think a request that Jesus makes is going to be answered? He's already praying the will of the Father, so God's going to answer this request. But also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, and rely on me through their word and teaching. All of us have come to the Lord Jesus Christ because of what those apostles taught. That's why we're here. What those apostles taught, we're here because of that. Now, I don't know who we're connected to, which one, maybe all of them. But we are connected to what those apostles taught. And what did they teach? They taught what Jesus taught them. So he's praying for us too. And here's the reason. Now, I mentioned this a few messages ago, but I want to bring it up again, because most of us just read this and fly on by it. Verse 21 is the gospel. It is the reason why we created. It is why creation is. It's why the Garden of Eden. It's why all of the covenants pre-cross. It's why the cross, the covenant after the cross. It's why the resurrection from the dead. It's why Jesus went to hell. It is all God is doing. He's not doing anything else but this. This is the reason for everything, from God's perspective. This is what Jesus prayed, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. That's the reason. If you want to know the reason why the cross, that's it. If you want to know the reason why creation, that's it.
Amen.
If you want to know why you and I exist, that's it. If you want to know why Jesus went to hell, that's it. If you want to know why he rose from the dead, that's it.
Amen.
If you want to know why the Holy Spirit was sent to abide in us, that's it.
Amen.
That is the gospel. You tie that to John 3:16. The Amplified says that God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave. That's the gospel right there. And if we don't know anything else about the gospel, we need to know that.
Amen.
Now, he prayed that for us. See, that was God's original desire when he created man. That's why he created Adam, that they may be one. He's never done anything else. That's why Jesus became a man to walk with us. That's why he died and rose again. That's why he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That's why. You can sum up everything right there. And this is also why we can love with love beyond natural ability. That's why we can walk in agape love, with a God kind of love. Now, if you're not born again, you can't walk in that love. All you have is a natural human love. So you have limits. But agape love is unlimited. It has no limits. We need to meditate on that and meditate on it and meditate on it. Include it in our prayer, include it in our confessions, include it in our thanksgiving to the Father. To make John 17:21 just part of every word we speak and every thought we think. When I say I cannot love you that way, there's the reason I can. There's the reason I can. Verse 21 again, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. You see that? We always think about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But if that verse is true, and it is truth. Jesus just got done saying a few words before this, that thy word is truth. This is truth. If that is the truth, then I can walk in this. I can walk in it. I can love you with the love that God has loved me with. It's truth. I just want to thank God for that. We should be thankful for that every moment of our life. There is no such thing as an I can't in the vocabulary of a Christian.
Amen.
There is an I don't want to, which moves us out of our communion with God. But there's no such thing as the word can't in the vocabulary of a Christian. We can use it. But it's not truth, because we can if we know him as our Lord and Savior. So I truly can love beyond my natural ability to do so. Verse 22. This is another one that if you understand what's being said, it'll knock your hat off over in the creek. It just blows your hat off when you really think about it. Verse 22, John 17. I have given to them, who's them? It's us. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. God does never share his glory with man. Have you ever heard that? Then that's a lie right there. Isn't it? The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. Isn't that sharing? God gave Jesus his own glory, or the fullness. The glory and the love are synonymous terms. Glory is the fullness of something, the power of something, the essence of something. The glory is love. He's saying, I have given, and he just doesn't say, I've loved, just as I have loved you, just as you have loved me, I and them and thou and me. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. So we can walk in the glory. We may not want to. We may not be doing what's required, but we can. What do you think was happening when Peter's shadow just touched the people and they were healed? It wasn't Peter. It was the glory.
Amen.
It was the power and the presence of God inside him. It was the fact that he was one with the Father. It was the oneness of that group of people. That's what created that anointing to where those people were healed when he walked down the street. And I can tell you, it just mentions Peter, but I can tell you there were others the same thing happened with. Because it's the same glory. It's the same glory. And that can happen with us today. Now, some people say, oh, Michael, you're way out there. Yes, I am. Praise God. I want to be way out there. I want to be beyond my natural ability to love. I want to go beyond what my own personal capabilities are. I want to allow his presence to be full in me. Now, is it? I've got hindrances, just like you do. There's places where I need to still grow up. There's places where you need to grow up to allow that glory to flow. But it is possible. It is possible, or it wouldn't be here. And it is God's desire because Jesus prayed for it. So we can go far beyond our natural ability. We can love the unlovable. And then he says, I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. He keeps saying that over and over again. I and them and you and me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know. That the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. There's no difference between the way the Father loved Jesus and the way that he loves us. Now, our religious minds won't accept that. He's the Son of God. Well, so are we in him. The Word teaches that we are sons and daughters of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John. Behold, what manner of love. See, that's been God's goal all along. That's the why man exists. And that's why the cross. And that's where we're coming back to. He's bringing us right back there. God's agape love has been poured into the heart of every believer. Therefore, we are able to love supernaturally. We may not be loving supernaturally, but we are able to. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He's been given to us. We can't earn the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us. He's a gift. No strings attached. All we have to do is receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And in that very moment, that second, that millisecond, whatever the smallest speck of time is, the Holy Spirit comes in. And he's one with us, just as Jesus prayed, that they may be one, that the world may know. I am in him, but you're in him. So we are in him, and we are one. Whether we think we are or not, God has already made us one. We may not be living it. We may be hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. We may not be bold enough or wise enough or have enough knowledge or enough desire to be one. But we are. That's how God sees us. He doesn't see divisions in us. because we're in Jesus. He sees Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we are sons and daughters of God, not just servants. God delights in the prosperity of his servants, Psalm says. How much more his sons and daughters? And what is prosperity? Prosperity is simply nothing broken, nothing lost. It's simply whatever my need is, that need is met. That's prosperity. It's not necessarily money, although it could be that. Money actually falls down pretty far on the scale. You prosper first, spirit, soul, and body, and then financially comes in there. Okay. Every Christian has the capacity to love as God does.
Amen.
Because God dwells in us. Every Christian, if you're born again, you have the capacity to do that. You may not be doing it. But the fruit of the Spirit is present because the Holy Spirit's present. What is the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's all in me because the Holy Spirit's in me. The Amplified says there, the fruit of his presence is love, joy, peace. So that's the fruit that bears that I've got to call up. I've got to exercise those fruits for them to be developed. But they are in me. They're present. I believe everybody's here in this room is born again. All those listening on Facebook or through this message, on audio message, is if you're born again, the fruit of his presence is there. We have to develop that. So we are able to, we're just not doing it. Every Christian has the capacity to love as God does. Agape love is supernatural love that will enable us to love beyond our natural ability. Agape love has no limits. Human love is emotional love, and it has a limit. You start tweaking the emotions on human love, and human love's gone. It's not there anymore. In its place is hate, anger, bitterness, all of those other things that are anti-love. You just push on that guy's buttons a little bit. And don't you think Satan knows what buttons to push? Because you've been telling him. You know, all he has to do is draw up our flip sheet. Oh, he don't like that guy. Okay, let's go. Go over there. Then all you have to do is see that guy and automatically you've lost your love walk. Because that guy appeared. Or that woman appeared. Or that thought came along. But you dropped your love. Because it's human love. It's emotional love. It has limits. It has to have something returned to it. It's not really a gift because it has strings attached to it. A gift has no strings attached. You expect nothing in return. Even though you get things in return, you don't expect them. That's not the reason you gave it. You gave it. That's why when you give somebody that's the homeless $20, he says he's hungry, and he leaves you and goes into the bar next door. He didn't go in there for food. He may get something while he's there, but that's not his motive. Did you give it to him? Then why are you upset? You didn't give it to him, you give it to God. So what he does with it is his to do with what he wants to with it. Anytime you give something out of love to someone, there should be no strings attached. You expect nothing in return. That's a gift. Otherwise, it's a loan. You want something in return. That's why you gave it. What is that? That's self-centered. You gave it only so that you can get something in return, or it's expected. The gift of love that we give to others is unexpected because it's beyond our natural ability to give it. Okay. As believers, we can love beyond our natural ability because love himself, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, abides in the heart and the spirit of the believer. As we position ourselves by making a quality decision to love and yield to the Holy Spirit, he empowers and guides us, enabling us to love beyond our natural ability. See, we are not alone. Sometimes when you teach on love, you think, people get the idea that I've got to do this and I can't do it. I've proved it. I'm 70 years old. I've not been able to do this in 70 years. So what makes me think I'm going to be able to do it in the next however long I got? I can't love that way. No, you can't. That's why the Holy Spirit came.
Amen.
Because you can't. What we do is we position ourselves so that He loves through us. See, we yield our love to the Father. The Father empowers us by the Holy Spirit, and the love flows through us to others. It's His love. We're yielding to His love. And we see this in John 14, 26 and 27. And earlier in John, I believe it's in 14 earlier, He talks about, I will not leave you orphans. Didn't He say that? He will not leave you orphans, but I send you a comforter. Let's listen to John 14, 26. Now, most translations just say the comforter. Those who've been around me much have heard this before. But the Amplified takes that word comforter and tells us what it really means. What the ministry of the Holy Spirit really is in the life of the believer. Now, we mentioned that when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes in. He's part of us. He becomes one with us. So if you're born again, sitting here or out there on Facebook, the Holy Spirit is present. So these ministries are there where you are. They live in you. So let's look at what His ministries are. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, and you add Teacher. Those are the ministries of the Holy Spirit. That's what that word comforter means. That's what He does in the believer. But if we don't know that, if we don't call those ministries up in our life, He can't do it. You see, we see that word comforter as a little pity patter on the back occasionally and say, oh, you poor thing. That's not a comforter. That's our idea of what a comforter is, but that's not what that word means. The actual ministries that the Holy Spirit performs in the life of every believer, He will not do it without us. But every believer, He's our counselor. If you are going through troubles and trials and problems in life, and you don't know how to love that person, you inside yourself, you can't do it. You need somebody to teach you how, don't you? Because it's not a suggestion to love them. It's a commandment to do it. And every time you see something as a commandment in the Word of God, not only is it a commandment, but God gives you the ability, the power, and the authority, and the right to do that. It all flows with the commandment. It's something He provides. When He says to love one another just as I have loved you, He gives you the ability to do that.
Amen.
It's a commandment. When He tells you to forgive, He gives you the ability to do that. He gives you the right, the authority, and the ability to do that. You may not know it, and you may not be exercising it, but He gives that with the commandment. There's not one single commandment in the Word of God that God has ever given that He does not supply the right, the ability, and the authority to do it. It's all there, built into it. And that's what the Comforter does. He is our counselor. He teaches us how. He's the one we go to and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to do this. Please teach me. And then over a process of time and circumstances, He will teach you. It may not be at that 1 second, but over a process of time and encounters, and you're continuously believing that, He will teach you. Revelation will start coming in a way that you can understand it, right where you are. That's so awesome about God. He's our helper. He doesn't do it for us. He helps us. So when I make a decision to do something, and I put my foot out there and start walking in it, He helps me with that. When I make a quality decision to love you, no matter what you do or what you have done, when I make a quality decision to love my dad who hasn't been here since 1960, when I make a quality decision to love him anyways, even though he's dead, I can do that. He helps me with that. He counsels me in that. He helps me with it. If I'm fighting depression and fear and worry and anger and all these things and got a root of bitterness in my life, he's the one that helps me and counsels me and strengthens me. But I got to receive that. I got to position myself for it. And that means setting my love upon the Father. Getting into his word so he can teach me. He will teach me through his word. He's my comforter, my counselor, my helper, and my intercessor. When I don't know how to pray, he intercedes for me. Romans 8. That is so absolutely awesome. Especially if you do pray in the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit can pray through you.
Amen.
And even if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, where you can pray in tongues, then what I say, pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit within you still utters groanings which you cannot understand. You see that where Jesus had groanings. That was what he was doing. It was his Spirit praying to the Father. You know, you can pray beyond your natural ability to pray because of the Holy Spirit living in you. He is our intercessor. An intercessor is a connector. You've got this thing over here and this thing over here, and you connect. You've got a need for water here or electricity, and you've got the power source over here. Well, a hose or a wire connects the two. That hose or a wire is the intercessor.
Amen.
He's interceding for us. He's connecting with God's heart and God's Spirit and bringing whatever's needed to me. He's the connector. He's the intercessor. He's the connection point, the power source. So when I say I can't love you, or I'm trying to get rid of fear and worry and anger in my life, he's the one that connects to the power source. He's the one that brings the power through to us.
Amen.
We got to know that. We got to receive it and position ourselves for that to work. He's our advocate. How many of you have ever been in a court situation where don't answer that. Anyways, if you've ever been in a place or you know somebody that has had to go to court, it is, you're dumb as a post if you go in there without an advocate. An advocate is an attorney. He stands in your place, he knows the law, and he's taken your position before that judge. Don't ever try to do that. That prosecutor will eat you up because he knows ways of twisting things, you know, and he just wants his case solved that he's got. But the advocate comes, who's the prosecutor in this case? The devil. He comes and accuses the saints. Then our advocate comes along and says, yes, Father, he freely admits he did that. But he came to Jesus. He confessed that sin, and it's washed. He's not guilty anymore. And then the judge says, not guilty. Case dismissed. That's what the advocate does, praise God. When I don't know how to stand on the word of God, he takes what I declare and brings it to the Father and gets that for me. He's my advocate. I'm not alone, and neither are you. Glory to God. Then he's my strengthener. I don't have the strength to love that person. I cannot love them. I've tried all my life. Look what my dad did to me. Look what my mom did, my brother, my sister. Look what they did to me. How can I possibly forgive them? Because God said to, and with the commandment comes the authority, the ability, and everything you need to bring that forth. He is the one that strengthens me there. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When I go to the Father, he supplies my every need. There's nothing that we can't do through and by the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what he lives within us for. He's our direct connection. He's the very presence of God himself. He is love inside of us. So when his spirit is directly connected with my spirit and we are one, the way Jesus prayed, I'm one with my Father, I'm one with God the Son, I'm one with the Word of God, I'm one with the Holy Spirit, and he's doing all these ministries, yes, I can love that person beyond my natural ability. I can, on purpose, forgive anyone in my life. I may not want to. But my want to there then is self-centered. It's carnal. And Romans 8 says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded means, I don't know how, I don't like these feelings, but these feelings are in my natural senses. They're my carnal nature, so I'm going to yield that to my loving Father. I may not know how. And every time I fall, I can run to the one who loves me. And he's going to lift me up and cleanse me. I can run to 1 John 1:9 and confess that fall as a sin. And he's going to forgive me and cleanse me. And then strengthen me. He's going to do all of these ministries. And he's my standby. A standby, I like when I was an adjuster, we had at the home office, we had a generator out there to take up half this room. And it just sat there. It didn't do anything. They have those at the university, I know, and other places. They just sit there. You might go a year or two, and a thing never even turned on but to test it. Think, why in the world did I spend all that money for that thing, and it's doing nothing? So you'll sell it. Then all of a sudden, here comes this storm and knocks you off the grid. And you're sitting there with nothing. Now you know why you paid for it. Because if you'd have kept it, when that storm come along, you might have been down for just a second, just long enough for it to start. And it starts on its own. It just starts up. And now you got power back. Everybody else is out, but you're not. That's what a standby does. When we're trying to love this person, when we're trying to love beyond our natural ability, when we're doing these things in our own power, we will fail. But when we do it in his power, and even then when we run out of strength, when we go as far as we think we can go, he kicks in. And that standby power takes us beyond our natural ability. Because now we're unlimited in our ability. Because it's his ability flowing through us to accomplish that. Now we can hear this and they just toss it off in the corner and just go down our merry way, as we always have, and fail. And most of us will blame God. God, I prayed. Well, he gave you the answer. You didn't do anything about the ministries of the Holy Spirit who he sent to be these ministries in your life. He sent them to us so that we can tap into them and we can use those ministries. They're there for us. What more can he do? He put his very self in us. How much more do you want? You know, and he even teaches us. He's the one that brings forth, the Holy Spirit's the one that brings forth revelation knowledge. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
We are so short on the knowledge of God. We fall so short on what God has given us.
Amen.
Because he loves us. It's a gift. You know, I always go back to thinking of when he created Adam. Just a lump of clay laying there. Everything else, in all of creation, he just spoke it. But not with man. There had to be a special touch with this one. This one, I can't just speak it. This one, I got to put myself in him. So he creates it out of the dust of the ground that he created with his words. He created the dust of the ground and the earth and all of that. And he molds personally. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, create someone just like ourselves. That's what he said. So they create this lump of clay, and it's just there. Eve wasn't there. She was in Adam. She was in that lump, along with Adam. So he molds it. It's got a shape, but when you pick it up, it just flops. There's no life. There's nothing there. No intelligence. Nothing. It's like you build a statue or a rag doll. There's nothing there. It just flops. But then what does the word say he done? It says he breathed the breath of life into Adam. And he became a living being. What was the breath of God's life? God himself. A lot of times we see in the word what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit being the breath of God. So he put his very own spirit inside this lump of nothing. That's how much he loves us. When he sees you and I and the creation of man, creation he sees is handiwork. But the word of God created that by his word. But when he sees man, there's something different about this person. Even the angels were created by his words, but not man. That's why the angels say, "Man, what are you?" They don't understand what man is. Man is a product of God's own heart. It's an image of himself. That's why he put himself there, so that we can love the way he loves. We can walk the way he walks. We can. We're just not doing it. And let me tell you, in these dark times that we're living in, we better start.
It takes practice.
We better start now for what's ahead. You don't wait till the problem comes and then start. You start now when times are good. Well, they don't look good to me. Well, in the future, we'll look back and say these are good times. Because it's going to get a lot worse. That's what the word says. These will be good times. I remember when. Yeah. I remember when we could all sit in a church side by side and lay on one another, and now we sit 6 feet apart. I remember when there was no mask. Really? What was that like? There's no mask. You know, I remember that time, don't you? But, you know, there's so much in this. God loves us so much.
Amen.
He loves us so very much. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We went through that. Well, I'm going to finish that with the comforter. Go back to John 14, 26. I didn't do verse 27. So I'm going to read it from the beginning and include verse 27. You have to. Otherwise, you haven't done verse 26.
Where are we at?
John 14, 26. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf. Now you know why he was sent. The Holy Spirit was sent to do all these ministries, to represent Jesus and God the Father, and to act on their behalf. He will teach you all things. How many things?
All.
All things. He will teach you all things. And then it says this part. And he will cause you to recall.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen, Greg. I love that. What was that verse? You know, I know there's something in there about that. Well, the Holy Spirit knows. And it's amazing how many times a trouble comes in your life and you're in a situation or a circumstance or you see somebody in a problem, you'll get the verse or the words will come up in your heart because the Holy Spirit's bringing them up. Because that's the answer. That's the answer. You may not know verse, chapter and verse, number, but you'll know the principle behind it. You'll know what God is saying in that principle that he's teaching us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He causes us to recall. Man, I wish... No, I don't. It's hard to say. I wish I remembered everything, but I don't want to remember some things. I've chosen not to. But anyways, he causes us to recall what we need to remember. That's part of his teaching ministry. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. And verse 27, peace I leave with you. Now this is Jesus talking. Peace I leave with you. my own peace, I now give and bequeath to you. What's a bequeath? It means somebody died and they gave you something. Jesus died and he gave us his peace. Now that's what the Holy Spirit's job is too. He brings us rest. He brings us peace. So this is Jesus' own personal peace that he gave us. Well, I can't walk in peace. Well, that's obvious you're not trying. But you can. Because that peace is in us. And isn't peace listed as a fruit of the Spirit?
Amen.
It is. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit in us gives us his peace. That means I can walk through the storms of life and not be afraid. Not be full of worry. If I'm depressed, it's because I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I'm being carnally minded. I'm not being spiritually minded. Because God's peace, when I'm spiritually minded, brings rest to me. There's no room for depression and love. It's not there. I'm not saying you're not depressed. But you better find out why. Because if you are, depression is carnally minded. You have to be carnally minded to get there.
Yeah.
And if you're carnally minded, you're focused on the wrong thing. You need to focus on the Word of God and the peace that Jesus gave us.
Amen.
And allow the Holy Spirit to do these ministries in our life. To call them up in our life. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. It's not the world's peace. So don't try to define it by what you see in the world. It's his peace. And then he says, Do not let. Now, does God not let, or do I not let? Do not let means the responsibility falls on me, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If I say, don't do that, I'm talking to somebody else and they're not supposed to do something. And if he says, do not let, who's he talking to?
Me.
I'm the one that does not let. Or do something about this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Is your heart troubled? Not supposed to be. He said, don't do that. Now, these are commandments. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Are you walking in fear? You shouldn't be. Fear is carnally minded. If you're spiritually minded, love's there and fear has no place. Stop allowing yourselves. So who's allowing this to happen? I am. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Well, I can't do anything about that. They're doing this and that over there. Just look what the presidents are doing and what the governor's doing. Just look at this mess. You can still walk in peace in that. Don't let yourself be unsettled. You're doing that. See, we're supposed to be a light in the world, not darkness. And we can't cooperate with the world and be the same kind of light that the world is. Can we? We can't do that. So we have to make a decision. We're not going to let these things work because of what the Holy Spirit's done. We can love beyond our natural ability. We can. And it's a step at a time, a moment at a time, a decision at a time. That's what it is. Father, forgive us for not walking in the love that you provided for us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that this message will impact us in a way far beyond anything that we can ask or think. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to teach us over the coming minutes, weeks, months, years, that we will be a light in the dark world around us, that we'll be able to walk this kind of love and be an answer instead of part of the problem. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Amen. Have a blessed day.